Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
And now, Enduring It Well, sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Some among us find that despite our most valiant efforts, the marriage we thought would last through the eternities doesn't even make it through this life. With the ending of a marriage, the relationships that remain can become strained, filled with hard feelings, sometimes bitterness, and usually heartbreak. Who will pick up the pieces? How can those pieces be fit together in a way that allows for forgiveness and recovery? What can we do to see that the children, innocently caught in a separation or divorce, emerge knowing that they are still loved and that the failed marriage was not their fault? How do we remain true to the commandments of God despite the adversity we encounter in life? Jesus Christ taught us simply to love one another, even those who have caused us great heartache. Welcome to this edition of Enduring It Well, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with host W.A. Christensen.
Allison and Alan Stoddard were married and the parents of two small boys with a third on the way when their marriage began to fall apart. The two attended counseling, individually and as a couple, tried to look inside themselves to improve, and worked hard at communicating better, but despite their efforts to save the marriage, Allison and Alan were separated several times until their marriage eventually ended in divorce. Allison raised the three boys, helped in part by their father Alan, who had started his own life again, but lovingly fulfilled his duties and responsibilities to the boys. In time, Allison was introduced to Mark Hanks, whose own marriage had also ended in divorce. The two started a friendship that quickly developed into a love for one another and resulted in marriage. Allison and Mark established a new home where Alan and his second wife were always welcome. Through the heartache and sorrow all had felt from the failed marriages, a new hope of recovery prevailed, fueled by the simple but powerful tool of kindness. Joining me in the studio today are Allison and Mark Hanks of Salt Lake City. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Glad to be here with you.
So, Allison, how long were you married to your first spouse?
I was married about 12 years.
And how many children did you have from that first marriage?
I had three sons, Andrew, Alex, and Aaron.
And how about you, Mark? How long were you married to your first spouse?
I was married 27 years.
And how many children did you have from that marriage?
I had three kids. Two girls and one boy, Heather, Jared, and Laurel.
Allison, when did you first recognize that there was a problem in your marriage? When did you first see it?
You know, when we had been married about 8 years, Alan came to me and said he was not happy and that he was going to move out, that he was going to go to counseling, and he kind of wanted to work on issues that he had and then that we could start working on issues together. But I was pretty blindsided when the initial announcement that he was going to move out came.
How did that feel to get that news? Do you still remember that moment?
Oh, yeah. We had gone out with my family that night, and I remember being in shock when he said that. And when he finally packed up and moved his stuff out, I remember I was just devastated. I remember over Christmas break, I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to tell anybody what had happened. I had shared with my family, and it was really hard.
How old were the boys at the time?
At the time, the boys were, I just had two sons, and they were like maybe 5 and 2.
With regards to your sons, what were your thoughts and your feelings realizing this was taking place?
You know, I had a fear of being alone, and I wondered how I was going to be able to take care of the kids. I was working full time and getting them off to daycare and everything like that. But during the separation, Alan came over every morning and actually got the kids ready and took them to daycare.
Wow. You're in this mode where you're realizing that you're kind of alone when it comes to this. What was that loneliness like?
You know, I had hope that maybe we could work on the marriage, and I had a lot of family support during that time. And we were quite distant for the first little while he was doing individual counseling, and then we started doing some couple counseling, and we continued to date and spend time together. But there was an awkwardness because I was afraid that it wasn't going to work out, and I remember wondering how long. And the first time that he moved out, we were separated, I think, somewhere around 8 months. So it was a long separation.
Did the counseling help at all, the couples counseling you got?
Yeah, I think we both did individual counseling, and we started to do couple counseling. And I learned a lot about myself and a lot of the things that he had been feeling in a marriage that he had maybe tried to share, but I wasn't open to listen early on in the marriage, that had caused him to get to the point where he felt like he needed to move out. We got to a point where I felt like we either needed to get back together and he needed to move back in so we could move forward, or we needed to get divorced. So he did move back in.
So you got to this point where you sort of, not necessarily took control, but you decided, we've got to do something here. We cannot just keep going as is forward.
Yeah, it had been about 8 or 9 months, and I felt like things were progressing and we were doing well as a couple, and that he needed to make the commitment to move back in if we were going to make this marriage work.
So what happened next?
So he moved back in and was in for several months, and then we had, I think, one or two more separations after that. It was about a 4-year period before it finally ended in divorce.
And when you finally made that decision, how did that feel to let go?
You know, I think there was a little bit of sigh of relief because there were some answers to me, or there were some answers for me in that process. I also felt like I had done what I could and that it still was not going to work.
Do you remember your prayers at all during these months and years?
You forget how hard things are as time goes on. And I remember reading back in my journal, and I would talk about, you know, being alone with the kids and putting them to bed at night. You know, when we finally divorced, Aaron was 5 months old, so I had an infant. And so I remember, you know, getting up at nights with him still and feeling alone. But I also felt quite alone in my marriage.
So did you feel betrayed at all?
Yeah, I did feel I did feel betrayed. I felt hurt that he was not able to communicate that to me when I had been willing to hang in there.
Do you remember at all specifically the moment when you knew that the marriage was going to end?
You know, I think I always had hope, because I think when you have kids and you have an eternal marriage, that you want to have hope that you can work things out. And I felt like I had made some changes and he had made some changes. We both had spent a lot of hours.
So there was a lot of effort put into
Absolutely.
Trying to make this work.
No, I think both of us felt like we had done what we could to try and make it work, and it still was not going to work.
Was it like a loss?
Oh, yeah. I think you grieve a loss. But I felt like over 4 years, with him moving in and out several times, I had grieved a loss several times. So there was a little bit of sense of relief to me that there was some finality in the whole thing now, and I could move forward. I didn't have to live in limbo.
Allison, you've made a reference to the eternal marriage. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we commit to the marriage, and marriage is a very important commitment and covenant. And now you're seeing it come to an end. Was that hard for you from a perspective of being a member of the church?
Yeah, I think, you know, your whole life you're raised that marriages are eternal and temple marriages are important, and that's what you strive for. And I had kept my covenants and stayed active in the church. You know, it wasn't important to him like it was to me. And so that was difficult, because the last few years, quite often I was taking the kids to church by myself, and so I was alone.
Was there any kind of guilt? Did you have any feelings of failure?
You know, I think I did have some feelings of failure, because I felt like, you know, we cared about each other, and obviously at one time we're very much in love, that we should be able to make this work. But at the same time, I felt like we had tried a lot, both of us in our own ways, and felt like we didn't know what else to do or how else we could give to the relationship. And I had stayed true to my covenants of the eternal marriage, and I had continued taking my kids to church when he had kind of stopped doing that and being involved in that. And I knew that that was important and that would get me through. And I spent a lot of time on my knees talking to my Heavenly Father, and I felt a lot of strength there.
When you were going through this, how difficult was that parting for you?
You know, it was very hard, but there was a sense of peace after going through that many years of being together and apart. And, you know, there were a lot of good times during those 4 years with he and I and with the kids. And I tried to dwell on the good times that we had. And there were good times in those 4 years.
How hard was it for the boys?
I think they did pretty well when we finally got divorced. They were 8 and 6 and 5 months. So, you know, of course, Aaron at 5 months didn't recall anything. And the boys at 6 and 8 had some memories of us together. But they seemed to do well. And I remember very distinctly Alan and I sitting down with the boys after we had made the decision and talking to them and telling them, you know, that this is what was going to happen, but it didn't change how we loved them and that we cared about them, and we were going to do the best we could to keep their lives as normal as possible.
So now you both made that concerted effort to make sure that that was communicated to them. How important is that?
Oh, I think that's extremely important for them to be able to have the two of you sit down in the same room and talk to the kids, telling them of your love for them, wanting to let them know how much you care for them, but that you and their father were not able to make the marriage work.
What was it like going to church now as a single mother with these little boys in tow in a society that is so family and couple-oriented?
You know, I continued to stay close in the gospel, and I had a lot of friends who were very supportive, and colleagues at work, and my family lived close. And Alan and I remained on good terms during all this, and he was a huge help with the kids. And we went to visitation where he'd have them one night a week and every other weekend, but we were flexible. So if something came up, we were willing to work with one another. And I continued to go to counseling on my own so I could, you know, work on the issues that I still had, because I felt like issues that were in this marriage, if I ever, you know, chose to get remarried again, would be issues that may come up again that I needed to improve on.
Now, you're not the first person, nor will you be the last person to ever get divorced. And I certainly remember peers of my own. The way the two of you parted is not typical. I mean, oftentimes there's some real animosity. There's some hard feelings. There's some hurtful things said. That's pretty unique that the two of you really left as friends and were able to go forward, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think we always cared about each other.
So how did you do that? How were you able to maintain that goodness and friendship to one another despite what was happening?
I think we both have very caring hearts, and I think maybe one of the gifts that I have been given is not to hold grudges against people and be very forgiving. And so in all aspects, that was pretty easy for me on that.
What advice would you give to someone who's listening to this program and is in the throes of a divorce and is going through this difficult time, and it's actually painful, the betrayal is deep? What would you say to them having gone down this path?
I would tell them to stay close to their Heavenly Father, spend time on their knees, and even if times got difficult with their ex-spouse, to always try and remain positive and be nice.
And what would you say to them when children are involved?
You know, I think with children involved, I remember a couple of times when I would talk to the kids and maybe Alan had done something that made me mad, and they were so defensive and protective of their father, and I learned really quickly not to talk about him in front of them. My parents were willing to listen. My parents were extremely supportive in helping with the kids, and my friends listened, but I tried really hard not to talk about him in front of them so that it didn't create that animosity in our relationship.
When you're in that lonely mode and you're going through that separation and that change of this relationship, how important is it to be able to sound off to someone else, to share your thoughts and your feelings, even if they've never been through a divorce or it's a family member? How important is it for a person going through what you went through to be able to talk?
Well, I'm a big talker, so it was really important. I have two sisters and parents who I'm very close to, and also I had a lot of colleagues at work who had kind of seen my ups and downs over the last 4 years. So I had to talk to them a lot in order to just kind of get through the hard times. But, you know, I was working full-time, and that helped to kind of have that time away sometimes. But and Alan and I would be open about talking about the kids, too.
Allison, when you were going through a lot of these dark days or these hard times, what did you do to keep yourself spiritually in tune to be able to take this hard trial on?
You know, I remember asking my father a couple of times for some father's blessings to help me through the difficult times, and that was a huge support. I also remember visiting with my bishop on more than one occasion, and him, you know, praying for me, and I felt the support of the ward in a lot of ways. I was working in the young women's and had some amazing leaders I had the opportunity to work with. And then I remember going to the temple and feeling the peace there.
How about you, Mark? When did you first notice that there was a problem in your marriage?
I guess being married 27 years, I think back of the time, probably in the we've been married about 20 years, 21 years, and it seemed that we were starting to go a little bit distant from each other. There were times where we had issues, and I just felt like that was part of marriage. You know, you have ups and downs, and you work through them. But at about 22 years into the marriage, we had an opportunity to move out of state. And we said, okay, let's try that. Let's move to another state, totally move away from family, totally move away from issues and struggles we've had. I took a different job. And I think some of the, as I look back on the time, some of the issues of my job probably affected our marriage. I had a business I had started. It was running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It was a manufacturing business. You know, I got calls in the middle of the night sometimes. I mean, it was a business. It was my career that I had grown and developed and was growing this business, but it required a lot of energy. And I think my ex-wife decided she wanted to go to school and get, you know, more education, so she started to do that. I was doing my business, and we kind of drifted apart there.
And now, was that slow at first, the drifting?
Yeah, the drifting was very slow. It was more, you know, I thought, okay, well, you know, we're working through it. We're both busy. We're active. You know, the kids were, I mean, our youngest was 12. So
when does it go? When did you notice that it went from this drifting or these just typical, as you say, sort of the things that we all know that we have these differences in marriage? When did it go from that to where you realize this is not going to continue, that this marriage is going to come to an end?
Well, I realized that pretty quickly after we moved away. For the first year of moving away, it was kind of fun. It was new. It's, you know, new surroundings, new environment. You know, new assignments in the church. I mean, there was just, everything was kind of fresh and new. But once we got settled, you know, all the same old issues started to come back. And it finally got to the point where we said, hey, we don't like, after the second year of being where we were, we didn't like where we were. And so we sold our home, moved back to Salt Lake, and decided, I felt at that time that coming back was, okay, we're coming back. There's some real struggles here, and we came back, new home, new environment, same old thing. It was mm-hmm.
It was refreshing,
so it was fun again. Yeah. First 6 months, 8 months, it was great, but then things settled in, and the unhappiness, and we weren't, you know, the combining what we both tried to do together. It wasn't fun anymore. We weren't enjoying our relationship. I think that she got going on her track of the school and finished school, and then came back. She got a job, and so she started to develop her own things. I was still kind of keeping things going with my business, and I think, you know, she stopped going to church. That was hard for me. I was very active. That wasn't acceptable, and so there was times that and then we'd have battles. We were fighting more at home, and there were struggles with that I finally just said, you know, this isn't working. I don't think that we need to get counseling. Went to stake president, bishop, got counsel as we could, and they recommended professional counseling. We both went there for a couple of times. I kept going. She didn't want to go anymore. So I kind of felt like we had hit that wall of, I felt that we had hit the wall that, you know, I can only do what I can do. And I realized that was probably the thing that had to happen for me Because I always had hope. I mean, I had a positive attitude. I felt everything would work. Everything's fine. My kids and my family, I think, you know, that's what you do. You got married in the temple.
Right.
We're just, and that you had bumps in the road and we'd get through the bumps. And after the escalation of the arguing and the daily, you know, struggles, I moved into the basement for two of our last 5 years. And just finally said, you know, this there's problems. I'm not going to live in that environment. It was always conflict. And so I moved into the basement and lived there for that period of time to get the separation. I could see that things weren't changing. And I felt that that needed to change. And so...
How was that for you when you came to that conclusion?
You know, there was kind of some peace, actually, when I finally realized that I'd hit the wall and it was kind of enough was enough and I needed to take action. And the action that I took was to move out and moved out of the house to say, you know what, I'm serious about this. We either get things back together or I think we could be done.
Yeah.
And so
what happened?
So I moved out, and about 3 months later, you know, we'd talk off and on during that 3 months, but there was still major issues. I said, well, then if we're not going to get on the program and get back to make our marriage work, then I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore.
So what was happening with your children as you were coming to that conclusion? What were you saying, and what did you see going on with them during all of this struggle and these arguments?
Well, we had one still at home, and so she saw the argument. She lived through some of the pain, and which I feel, you know, very sad about the pain that we caused her. And the older two were moved out of the house. And one was already married. The other one was away in another state working. So they didn't get into much of that conflict. They were sad. They wanted us to work it out. But the older two didn't know what was happening. The youngest, she struggled. She and I were actually, you know, on the same page, and so she and I kind of were buddies, and we would do things together. So the support for me was her, and likewise, you know, I kind of helped her out.
Yeah.
But it was painful for her to kind of see that things were changing.
Now, as I asked Allison. Did you ever feel judged or looked down on?
Well, I think that's self-imposed judgment, but I think it's true that you do. I felt it. I looked at it. I go, you know, I walk into church by myself, and because by the time we actually got divorced, my youngest was getting ready to go to college. So she was off to, you know, other young adult wards, but... so it was hard because you walk in and you're all alone, and the members were great. You know, I had to put on my best face when I go in and go, okay, you know what? There's the right thing to do. You know, for me, I had to be me. I had to be doing the right thing. Those are tough times. Those are very humbling times.
It seems to me that it would be very easy to lose your self-esteem during something like this. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was huge. I felt like, you know, I had a business and a career and had grown a lot of things and helped and had responsibilities in the church. And I felt like it was almost like I wasn't worthy to have any of those anymore. And that I, you know, you failed at this, which is the most important calling of your life, you know, a family and keeping your marriage together and being a father.
So, Mark, let me ask you, when you were in those moments and that your self-esteem was hit like that, how did you know your Father in Heaven loved you?
I think because I stayed close to Him. I worked harder at it, reading the Scriptures more earnestly, praying harder, asking more, being more specific on things. And I just had to keep saying, you're okay. You're okay. You're a good guy. And I hung around people that liked me. That helped a ton. You know, having family, they thought I was cool.
So now you mentioned a minute ago, you knew at a certain point that this wasn't going where it needed to go and it was over, and you did want to move on. You were to a point where you felt like you needed to and wanted to move on after you'd exhausted all your efforts in that other direction. And you felt like there was probably someone out there for you, and you met that someone. Tell us how you met Allison.
My divorce had finalized, and my brothers came to me, and we were talking about dating, and which is another weird subject at age 50 or so to have to date again. But, you know, there were some neat ladies out there, and they said, hey, you have to commit to dating about 10 people before you can get serious with one. So I started dating, and got lined up with two or three people, and Allison was one of the blind dates that I got lined up with, and was recommended that I go out with her, and so I made the call, and we kind of hooked up, went on a blind date, and enjoyed the time, and it happened very quickly. I mean, I was kind of surprised, but I feel like as I look back on those times that I was separated in our marriage for probably 3 or 4 of the years, and you know that I had been since I had moved out of the house and separated, and the divorce, you know, was culmination of 4 or 5 years of being by myself.
I'm W.A. Christensen, and you're listening to Enduring It Well, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Alan Stoddard, Allison's first husband.
Life isn't easy. It was never meant to be easy. It was meant to give us wisdom, even when life's lessons sometimes seem unbearable. No matter what one faces in mortality, the gospel of Jesus Christ provides a roadmap, a compass, and all tools necessary to navigate safely home again to a loving Heavenly Father.
So now joining us here on the program is Alan Stoddard, Allison's first husband and father of their three boys. Alan, thanks for coming in today. We appreciate having you here.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
Let's start with you, Allison. What were some of the challenges you faced now as you've gone through the divorce, you've sort of set up separate lives, and now you're marrying Mark, and all of this has taken place. What were some of the challenges you faced?
When Mark and I got married, the boys were, when we started dating, they were 13, 18, and 21. So Andrew was home from a mission, Alex was preparing for a mission, and Aaron was at that difficult junior high age. And all three of the boys had a really good relationship with their dad, with, you know, regular contact with them, phone visits, spending time with them. So I don't think they ever really felt threatened and were glad to have Mark. And Mark was really a kind, loving individual and didn't push any relationships. Aaron by far had the most difficult, just because that's a hard age. And Aaron and... since Alan and I were, you know, divorced, he was 5 months old, and so he had had a lot of time with just me.
Yeah.
And I think it was most difficult for him to adapt to letting somebody else come into his
life.
Maybe
a little possessive even.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Alan, now you served a mission to Scotland, is that right?
I did.
Yeah. And, you had your family together, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work. You guys tried to make it work. You got counseling. You did what you could to see where you could go with it and to make the best of it, but it didn't work.
Yes.
But you still love one another.
Yeah, Allison's a great lady. The fact that we're not married is nothing. She's still a great lady. We worked at raising the kids and bringing them up in a loving, separate household, each of us.
That's not easy.
It's not always easy, but you know, working with Allison, it's been a lot easier than a lot of ex-spouses have.
And why would you say that? In what way?
Because we both paid attention to it. We both paid attention to the kids, and we knew from the get-go that if we didn't pay attention to the kids, that our kids would struggle and have a hard time. And we knew that we loved each other and our kids enough that that's what we wanted, our kids to grow up fine. And divorce is hard enough for them, so we wanted them to grow up and just be happy kids.
That's really profound. I mean, that I think that's sort of the mark everybody wants to hit, but doesn't always hit.
It's a tough mark to hit, but even when Mark Hanks came into Allison's life, he's become one of my dearest friends, and I have a lot of love and respect for him. And you'll have to edit this out.
Now we're all going to be crying.
But he's been a joy to the children, to the boys. And he loves them as much as I do. And he treats them the same as I do. In fact, if there is an issue, Mark and I generally are the ones that talk about it. And we're the ones that get to the point of taking care of it before it gets to Allison. And he and I work exceptionally well together.
That's really unusual.
It's usual to us.
That's really sweet. Have the boys noticed that? What have they said?
They definitely notice it. They have seen Mark and I together outside of family relationships at soccer games or, you know, being with the boys at on different occasions.
Now, you guys are both basketball. You coached one of the sons in basketball, did you not?
Yes, we were Coach joint Dan. Coaches. And it was a great experience for both of us.
So outside of those experiences, they see what the two of you have done. Has that left a mark on them, do you think?
Oh, definitely. The boys know that we support each other in what we do. And as far as them, we're always there together. Mm-hmm. When the boys have something going on at, say, they're speaking at church, we're there. When the boys get their awards, when Aaron got his Eagle, we were there. Mm-hmm. Actually, all four of us were there. My wife, Jill, was there as well. And having all of us there being supportive of each other and supporting the boys is a real plus to the kids.
Allison, how does that feel for you? What is that like being in that position where you see them working so well together?
Oh, I think it's a great position because I feel like it's just more male role models for my kids, not only their biological father, but their stepfather. And they see a healthy relationship with all of us. We can be in each other's homes and it's very comfortable. The kids are not ever uncomfortable when we're all together. And it makes a huge difference in family gatherings, in sitting by each other at soccer games. We traveled together and sat by each other on a lot of Aaron's soccer tournaments. And people are amazed.
I've observed it. I recently saw Alan and Mark greet each other with an embrace. That is so extraordinary.
I think we've both realized, kind of when we first started the relationship with these boys, that we both respected each other for the roles that we had. You know, Alan being the father, I respected him. I knew that, you know, he had a different relationship with his boys than I would. When Aaron, who was the youngest, we got married, Aaron was very jealous of and afraid that I would take his mom away. I realized what my role was not, I wasn't going to be the father figure. And I think that's why Alan and I get along so well. We both respect what each other brings to this relationship, and we know it's really for the kids. And then it's more fun for us. I mean, you know, we like to get together. I mean, we'll talk to each other at least two or three times a week. So
I was going
to
say, it could be really a nasty relationship, but you've chosen to make it a really wonderful relationship.
You know, one of the things that's actually been kind of different, people see us, and I know a lot of Mark's family, and his brothers accept me like I'm one of them. And my family accept Mark like he's one of us. And
so it's filtered on beyond the three of you. Yeah. It's now gone out into the extended family.
And my family, my brothers and sisters, love Allison. They think she's a great lady. And Mark's kids, I mean, especially his youngest daughter, Laurel. Actually, I've helped her on some of her schoolwork, and she always gives me a hug when she sees me. And it's great for us to be that joined, especially when we have these three boys in common.
Yeah.
And for our boys to see that. with everyone else.
But isn't there a message in there, in essence, that relationships are our most important thing that we should be doing? That's one of the greatest reasons we're here, is to find and develop good relationships. And what I observe of the three of you is that while that wasn't what you expected, that wasn't what you planned, but you've made the best of this circumstance. Isn't there a real lesson in that for all of us that goes beyond a marriage relationship?
I think it goes beyond in the fact that we see the family of our Father in heaven. And, you know, our Father loves us. And I think Mark and I really have tried to incorporate that in ourselves and our kids. And it has gone beyond that because our families love us and we love them. And so they're accepting of Mark in the same way, pretty much that they are me and of Allison. And I think that love is the greatest gift that God ever gave us. And it was the greatest teaching that God ever gave us. And I think that all of us have incorporated that into ourselves, whether naturally or learning it, and want to extend that to these boys, these kids that are ours for this time period.
You know, my kids too, and just to echo to kind of the conversation of the Alan and Allison's three boys, you know, my kids have kind of are feeling a part of that whole united family too. There is no jealousy. I think that's one thing that causes a lot of the struggles between ex-wives and ex-husbands, marriages that have been
the
separated.
Positioning that
is
goes
that,
on.
And, is that jealousy? You know, you're going to come do this with me, and there isn't any. We're excited if you know, they're going to go hang out with Alan. We're excited that they go get to do that or go to trips with them or vice versa. There's no innate jealousness within the relationship, and I think that really helps.
Knowing what you know now and having done what you've done, what advice do you have for other children who may not have quite the same situation? They find their parents are breaking up. It's hurtful, painful to them to go through that process. What advice do you have to children?
Don't take sides. Love your mom and dad for who they are. Be sad that they're not together, but love them for them, and don't get caught up in the stuff that goes on. If it's not working, just say, "Mom, that and Dad, that's your issues."
I think it's okay for them to ask for a timeout, and it's okay for them to state how they're feeling about their parents, and that maybe they don't enjoy it when their parents argue in front of them or fight in front of them, and you know they need to remove themselves from the situation if they're not comfortable there.
And I think the kids need to continue developing relationships with their parents, each one of them separately, and not ever expect that their parents are going to get back together. I think that really poses a problem because that's a kid's dream, that their parents will get back together.
There are a lot of movies about that.
Exactly. Yeah. And in Disneyland, it probably happens.
Yeah.
But in real life, it usually doesn't happen. And help your kids understand that, but help your kids develop a relationship with you individually and never speak badly of your ex-spouse. That's a tough one because you're so angry at sometimes you can't do it. But show respect for your ex-spouse, and then your kids in turn will show respect and develop love for them.
Allison, in observing how the two of you get along now, it seems to me that there's been some forgiveness that has taken place. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, it's like I stated earlier, I'm not one to really hold grudges. And so, you know, I think knowing that our kids were so young when we got divorced, I think Alan and I made a conscious decision just when we sat down and talked to the kids together as a couple, that we needed to raise these kids together. And I needed his help. I didn't want to do it alone, nor could I do it alone. And, you know, he's remained a very strong, active part in their lives, and he has a great relationship with each one of those boys.
Now, you realize that's not typical.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you can see that, right?
Very atypical. No, I feel very blessed. I think both of us feel very blessed with the relationship we've been able to have and with the relationship that our kids have with us, you know, alone and together. We're totally comfortable together. You know, Alan's comfortable around my extended family. He works, does a lot of work for my sisters and, you know, vice versa.
So, Alan, same question. It appears as if there's been some forgiveness. Have you found that to be true?
A lot of forgiveness. And I mean, it's a two-way street with Allison and I, because we did work a long time bringing these kids up and having issues in our own private lives, a lot more than either of us ever desired to have. But now both of us are in much better places. Allison has married a wonderful man, and I support them wholeheartedly, the two of them. And I'm married to a lovely, lovely young lady. And her kids have just meshed in with the boys wonderfully. And, I mean, it's a four-way street with all of us supporting each other. And I couldn't ask for more.
How important is forgiveness in these kind of trials, particularly where you feel, may have felt betrayed? Or you may have felt as if, you know, I thought it was going this way and it didn't happen. You know, you need to forgive. How important is that forgiveness?
You know, I don't think you can move on in life until you choose to forgive someone. And you know what? It's not my job to be the judge. And so I think that, you know, in order for me to move through difficult times, I have to be willing to forgive and maybe put that in the past and look at what's best for everybody involved.
And then secondarily, not only forgiving the other, but forgiving yourself.
That's huge, isn't it?
Oh, it's such a big part, because if you can't forgive yourself, you can't forgive someone else.
Alan, before you came in, we were talking a little bit about how divorce can really take a hit on your self-esteem and really may, you know, set you back a bit. Isn't that one of the real keys then to maybe getting some of that self-esteem back, is to forgive yourself?
I mean, you do everything you can possibly to make that relationship work. And once you have done that, you know that you can forgive yourself, because you left no stone unturned whatsoever.
Wow.
And then once you forgive yourself, then you can start to move on. Once Allison and I actually forgave each other, and we understood that a forgiveness was in place. And it was, you know, it took a little bit of time.
And it was, that doesn't happen overnight, does it?
No. It was a bit of work. But once we knew that that was taken care of and we focused on our kids, then our kids became happy kids. They became totally different. Because there were periods when they were a little bit weepy, I guess is a good word for it. You could see their emotions on their sleeve, because
pain,
they were having
there.
A hard time with it. But once they saw Alice and I start working with them and forgiving each other, and where Allison and I could actually talk to each other when I'd pick up the boys, they knew that things were going to be different and things were going to be okay. And forgiveness is a huge part of that.
And you also have to realize we've had 18 years to work at this. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a lot of years of raising kids together that we needed to make it work in our relationship so that it would be okay for the kids, because it's not something that they asked for.
And so someone who's listening to this, who's right in the middle of it right now, you know, realistically has to look at the fact that time has to plays a big part in all of this as well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's huge.
Yeah, I think time heals a lot. I think part of the issues with the, we all make mistakes. And I think, you know, when you talk about forgiveness, the importance of being able to forgive each other and yourself for, I mean, that's why we're here on the earth. We're here because we know we're going to make mistakes and learn from them and grow and get on. But if you carry that around, you can't carry that burden around with you. And I think that's the key. If, you know, somebody out there that's struggling with this right now, you know, get to the forgiveness stage. know that it's there.
It's kind of a shortcut, isn't it?
Know that it's there. And if you get there, the sooner you get there, the better and the faster you can get moving forward.
So how did the gospel of Jesus Christ give you direction, sort of a compass, a roadmap to get through a hard trial such as divorce?
It is the roadmap. I don't know how else to... I mean, the question kind of answers itself. The gospel, knowing the love that Christ has for us and what he's done for us and the direction and the plan of happiness. I mean, it's pretty simple plan. I think the hardest thing is to allow the atonement to be effective in our lives. And I think, which starts with the forgiveness, which starts with you know, those things and trying to live the right way. I don't know. It's one of those things where you if you do some of the simple steps, it's okay, and you get the strength. And our Heavenly Father's there. He wants you to win. He wants you to get ahead. He wants you to be successful and be happy.
Because
he wants you back.
Yeah, it's interesting to me as I look at the trials I've been through, and as I've interviewed other people and seen the things that others have gone through. It's interesting to me to see his personal touch even in our trials. He knows what's going to help us, and he knows how we're going to be buffed and how we're going to be shaped and polished.
You know, I think just taking the kids to church every week and remain consistent with them helped them in staying close to their Heavenly Father and remaining true to the covenants that I had made and staying strong in the gospel. You know, I often thought, this isn't supposed to be easy. This is a test, and we're all supposed to learn, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to mess up along the way. And, you know, obviously, you know, I married Alan for a reason, and we had these wonderful kids for a reason. And, you know, when they say, you know, they didn't say it was going to be easy, they only said it'd be worth it. And, you know, it's been a marvelous journey. You know, and I think we'd all go back and do things differently maybe if we could, but, you know, that's not the choice that we get, so we move forward from this point on, and I think that's what I've had to do several times in my life, is take what you have and move forward.
I've often thought that I would never have chosen the trials I have, but I'm sure grateful for them, looking back.
Well, and I don't think we're given what we can't handle. I feel strongly about that, and I think people come into your lives for a reason, and things happen for a reason.
Now, Alan, how did your understanding of your relationship with your Father in heaven, how did that help you through what you went through?
You know, I have developed a relationship with my Father in heaven and understand and know he's with me. Always. And the last question you asked about getting past all of this, and I see it as a little bit different, in that I see whether you want the light to win or whether you want the darkness to win. And I know that I ask my Father in heaven daily, hundreds of times, to give me strength and to give me the knowledge and the courage to do what I'm supposed to do. And he's always there. He's always there. He has never let me down. He's always there. And he always answers me.
You know, as you were talking, I couldn't help but think of what a great example the two of you are as fathers for your children and your grandchildren and on and on and on. It's easy to look back then and recognize, as good fathers, the ultimate father, our Father in heaven, the ultimate example. And for what it's worth, the observation I have is that both of you have paid attention to that example. Mark, you and Alan have a refreshingly unique relationship. You both coach a common son and a stepson. When you greet one another, as I mentioned, you embrace.
Can I stop you for 1 second?
Sure.
Son.
Son.
To both of us, he's our son. He is our son.
Yeah, we both look at it as son.
I think that's a key, isn't it? I mean, even the way you look at it, that's a real key to how to father a child.
Well, I look at it as the stepfather coming in, that, you know, I love my wife, I love Allison so much that I love her kids. And so it's our kids. And I think that's where the respect with Alan and I have been, that we look at each other as raising these kids as our own. And you know, a step situation.
It occurs to me as you're talking that really the boys are quite blessed in that they have two fathers.
They are, and two people that have actually very similar beliefs, because Mark and I do. Yeah. And I love the fact that he's there with the boys when I can't be, and I'm not, because I know that they're getting the same things from me.
And it's a good thing I'm not a jealous person.
It's just, I hope you realize, observing it from my perspective, and hopefully as the listeners are listening, they'll realize that it's a great example of how to take something that's a hard thing. It's the old take the lemons and make lemonade. You've really done that. You've taken a difficult trial in all of your lives and made the best of it to a point where it's an enjoyable life, it's going forward. You each landed at that moment of a divorce or at that moment where it was not working, where you were going, hey, this wasn't what I signed up for, this wasn't what I had in my plan, but it happened and you got through it. What does hindsight teach you? What have you seen with your 2020 vision looking back that would be of value to others who are just walking into it?
You know, one thing that I think that I don't know that we've touched on is, you know, it's really easy to be selfish in a situation like this because you maybe feel like you've been wronged or you feel sad about the situation. But I think one of the key things is to be unselfish and, you know, maybe put yourself in that person's shoes. And, you know, sometimes when I would feel sorry for myself and maybe feel overwhelmed at home alone with these young children, you know, I remember one of my friend's ex-husband said to me once, you know, try being on the other side when you're not with the kids and you don't get to tuck them in at night and you don't get a, you know, you don't see them take their first steps and those types of things. And it kind of put a different light in my eyes of the things that I needed to be grateful for instead of feeling selfish.
Yeah, that's a real good point, Allison. And let me just ask both of you fathers, because you both went down that path a bit. How hard was that being in those lonely moments where you weren't there to tuck in that child? How was that? And not only how was it, but how'd you get through it?
You know, it's one of the hardest things that I have dealt with in my life is not being around and seeing a lot of the things that as the boys grew up. And Jill and I have actually talked a lot about that, in the fact that, you know, I wasn't the one that got to be there when the kids went to their prom. I wasn't the one that got to be there when Aaron started running around. And it was really tough dealing with it. I lucked out because Allison shared a lot of it with me.
And how important is that in a relationship that can be combative, so to speak? What does that take to do that, to be able to share it, even though it's a little territorial now?
You know, I think that that's one of those things going back to being unselfish. I think Allison was extremely good to me in that I would get pictures of the boys going to prom. And I mean, even when these new camera phones came about, you know, I'd get a text with a picture of Aaron and his date. Wow. If I wasn't there.
So she proactively kept you involved.
She did. She did.
So much of what we've talked about is not something that, as again, we've said, doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. I guess in closing, I'd like to get your thoughts on one other aspect of all this. Knowing what you know now as the fathers and mother of these children and these blended families, and watching the heartache but also the joy, and seeing the loneliness and the loss as well as the, you know, great moments of triumph, what does all that tell you about the nature of your Father in heaven?
I think that he's always there for us, that he listens, that he understands, and that if we will just put our trust in him, that he'll be with us through the journeys that we're going to take in life, and we're going to make mistakes.
I think he expected each one of us to have our struggles. You look at you know, how he lost a third of his children that went away left the spirit world and pre-existence. And that struggle that he has to have gone through, and that would be painful for him. And so to understand where he came from, and then also to feel and to know that that he's watching out for us and that he's there. And he loves us when we do the right things, and he loves us when we do things that we shouldn't. And he's there to help us get back on track.
You know, when I think of my Father in heaven, I actually think a lot of my dad, because my dad was one of the most wise men that I've ever known in my life. And he was a man that I knew loved me. And my Father in heaven is the same way, amplified. And even when I fall, which seems to happen a lot, he's there. He's right there with me. And all it takes is me asking him to be there with me. And I know that the answers I receive are the correct answers. They're not the ones made up in my head to make it seem okay. And if I can be even partially that good for the kids, then I'll have been a success.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.